So I'm going to write on the board here, remembering God. And that's what we want to talk about today, is the importance of remembering God. The word remember means to preserve the memory of, to preserve from being forgotten. And so the first thing we want to do is understand what we mean by saying remembering God. This morning you are not going to preserve God. You're not going to keep him from being non-existent anymore or disappearing from the scene. He is who he is, who he always will be, who he was in the beginning, he is now, and he will be to the end of time. And everything he said will happen, and he will be God. And he is God forever and ever and always has been. Nothing I do is going to change that. What I have power over is whether I remember who he is. Because God leaves that up to me, to remember God. That's the choice I have. You'd think someone so powerful, so mighty, so incredible that he created the worlds, that he flooded the world, that he put a rainbow in the sky, that he did all these things, that there's no way that anybody could ever forget him if he was still around. But God has allowed, and even in some situations where people have chosen to forget God, he has gone in and it says, given them a lie that would seem to expedite their forgetting of God. Now, the Lord knows exactly why he's doing all that and why he chose to do it that way. But it says in the Bible, there were those who chose when they knew God to not glorify him as God. Therefore, he sent them a lie. He sent them something. Now, God cannot lie and he doesn't tempt man. And we know all that's true. But the point being that it's imperative on us, that God left it with us to decide whether we're going to remember him or not. So this morning, we want to remember God for who he is. It says in the Bible, Psalms 9 and 17. Psalm 9 and 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So, when the word says nations here, my salvation and my salvation and my escape from hell is not determined by my government and what they decide to do. The nations is just signifying all the nations of people everywhere across the world. Where there are people who forget God, there is a lack of an ability to be saved until we rectify that situation. I cannot be saved if I'm walking around forgetting who God is. Just like it says here, the wicked shall be turned into hell. If I'm someone who knows God and then I manage in my life to forget who he is and forget what my responsibility is to him, it says that I too will be turned into hell. Okay, and so to illustrate what we're saying here, well, maybe I don't want to take that off the board, so maybe we could just imagine in our minds here a similar starting point for all of us in life, because it is. We're all born into this world. We all are newborn babes without a knowledge either way. And the things in life happen, all right, but in the midst of that, we still make choices. And that's where the real determining factor is. No matter what's happened to me in life, the Lord understands all of that, and it even says there's things in his word that teach that he has that consideration, but that he's able to reach past that and speak to every man and give each one the same opportunity to choose whether to remember who he is, to acknowledge who he is, or not. And in those paths that we have, we all start from a similar point. We start off and we determine paths we're going. But we're all going to end up one of two places. And there's only one path to heaven. It's a straight and narrow way. And it's imperative in that path that we remember who God is. Every other path will be turned into hell. Every path that does not involve remembering who God is and carrying the knowledge of Him with me day by day and protecting that knowledge in my life, growing in that knowledge, esteeming it of great value in my life, every other path beside that is going to end up in hell. And I say that to us this morning as people who know God, who know who He is. I've heard to impress on us the importance that me sitting here in church and me even sometimes sitting with my Bible, not to knock it, we need to do it. But even in the midst of that, my path could be turned into hell if I'm doing all that and not acknowledging who God is and not remembering who He is and not doing all of this in order to know Him better. And to that my life might please Him, that it might glorify Him, that it might be what He wants it to be. If all of this is done simply as a part of who I am, without a true knowledge of God and a true humility before Him, a true humbleness before Him as to who He is and the power He has over my life, and the fact that His Word, I will determine where I go, but based on who He is, He has absolute control. He has decided the parameters, how this life will be decided, and set us in it to make the choices. There is nothing that will ever change that. He is God, and no one can change His Word and how He's created the world and what He's established to be as the way, the parameters within which we operate. No one will ever change that. We will always be subject to Him. That's why it says in His Word, there will come a day that every knee will bow. Because in the midst of all these other paths that we have the freedom to choose, we have the freedom to forget God, there will come a day where He reminds us all, and then we'll go to the place we chose to go to by the choices we made, whether to remember who He is or not. All right? So this is what this verse means. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I don't want to forget Him. I don't want to forget who He is. And it's so important because there are so many good things about God, and we want to talk about some of them this morning. But we do not want to fall prey to something that I believe I see happening, is that people talk about all the goodness of God and forget they are subject to Him. That He is Lord Supreme who has set the boundaries, and He's not, no matter where we get, and sometimes it's almost like we think we somehow have figured out something more about God and His goodness. Well, He's still who He always was, and the parameters that were always there about heaven and hell are still present today. As I explore the goodness of God and how awesome He is, it's all within those parameters that He's the supreme ruler, being, creator, who has decided the parameters of how we're going to live, and those will never change. We'll make our choices and end up one place or another based on our choices within those parameters that God has set. All right? And so we want to remember that in all that we do and learn in life, that God is God. So I want to look over in Micah, the 6th chapter here, and pick up a verse. And appreciate your prayers. So this is a little passage here that it would be good to remember. In fact, this passage, this chapter of Scripture has one of the more, I think, good things to remember about God and the simplicity of who He is there in Micah 6 and 8. But for right now, we want to just bring out 6 and 3. And it says, O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. The Lord. Micah is dealing with a people who have forgotten God. For one reason or another, they've forgotten who He is. And I'm not just talking about the fact that He is supreme being, like we said, in the big wall perimeter around this world that He has set up that we operate in. They've forgotten that, and they've forgotten everything about Him. Because there's so much more to God than just that. All right? But they've forgotten those things. And the Lord's saying, what did I do that you've forgotten who I was? That you become weary of remembering me? the Lord is speaking to them, saying, tell me, testify against me. Tell me. This is the Lord speaking here, basically what he's saying. He said, you come here, I'm giving you permission to tell me right now what I have done that has wearied you and caused you to choose to forget who I am. And so this morning, we take that verse and we give permission, not publicly, don't misunderstand me, but in ourselves right now, what is it that God did? Permission granted by His Word, right now in your mind and in your heart, to consider what has God done that I'm weary of Him, if that's where I'm standing with the Lord today. What is it that He's done? Was it, and we'll talk about some right now, some things, because I might just speak for my life a little bit. I need the Lord to help me right here. I want to move on from this point appropriately. But as you consider that, what has the Lord done that's wearied you? Was it the fact that He created the world and all that is therein? Was it the fact that He created you? Was it the fact that He allowed you to have life and gave you life? And I don't want to be too overbearing. Consider. Maybe you think and you nod and you say, yeah, all those things, but. Okay, so I don't know what that would be. I know in my life times where I've struggled with the path that the Lord has handed to me. I know the weariness sometimes that I feel. And I remember the refreshment when I finally gave it to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I just want to... I remember one time specifically, something I was so weary about. I'll just be honest, I was weary. And I was listening to a gospel song, and it said something about, I just want to praise You. It's something about that just clicked in the midst of everything that I was battling in my mind and struggling with is, Lord, I just want to praise You. That's all I want to do. I want to be able to give this to You in a way that I'm not carrying it anymore. And this is the cry from the Lord today. What is it that I'm doing that it's wearing you? Do you know it's not the Lord that's wearing you about Him? It's the struggle we have in letting go of the thing that we're battling and giving it to God and say, Lord, I just want to praise You. That's all I want to do. Because that's what the Lord... That's what He's looking for in our life. That's what He's working for. There's an element of it that takes us coming to that point and saying, Lord, I want to let go of it. The only reason I'm weary is because I'm holding on to something. It's because I'm carrying something that You didn't intend for me to carry. You said, cast on Me all your cares, is what it says in the Word of God. It says, come to Me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord is looking for us to learn how to just yield those things over, and wants yield those things over to Him, and wants us to understand that if we're in a place where we are weary of the Lord somehow, or weary of this walk, or weary of this way, that it's not because God has done something that's wearying you, it's because us are somehow struggling with being able to let go of something, whether it's we don't want to or whether we just don't know how to. The situation I was in life, it was the particular one I'm talking, because there have been several. It was something I just didn't know. I didn't want it. I would prefer that things were different. But there wasn't a way I had the ability to change those things. And I just didn't know how to let go of it in that particular situation. And the Lord gave me exactly what I needed. And that's who the Lord is. That's what we're remembering this morning. It's not God that weighs us down. It's our struggle with releasing those burdens to Him. And just so that we can praise Him. So that we can just praise Him. So that He can have all those burdens and He can carry them in the midst of us going through them. And we can praise Him and just enjoy the blessings that He has given us in the midst of those times. You know, when you're carrying a heavy weight, you can't see all the things that He is doing for you. I talked with somebody, one of my patients, I don't remember if it was, I think it was Friday or Thursday. So it was one of those recent days, and we talked about the caveat blessings. And I don't even know if that's really the right word for it, but what we were talking about is how that we come to a situation and we say, Lord, change the situation. We want to be out of this situation. And he basically says no, because the situation doesn't change. And so then we have a choice. The Lord says no, but he does not say no because he's not trying to do something for us. And he's not trying to give us a blessing. We're asking for a blessing, and he says basically no to that blessing, but he doesn't say no because he's not working to bless our lives. He says no because he has other things he wants to give us that are better than that. That somehow the Lord in all his wisdom knows we just have to, he has to not deal with that right now, or we just need that to get these blessings. That's not even really important. The fact is we asked for one blessing, didn't get it, and then we have a choice. Because what we do sometimes is we get so focused on that and we don't release it that it becomes what's wearing us. It becomes the weight in our life. And if that is where our focus is, then we can't see the other things that God is trying to do for us. And therefore we get in a dry place and we become weary because it appears to us that there is nothing going on, that all we're doing is carrying a burden and that we're just struggling with it day by day. And we don't see the caveat blessings, what God is doing, the things that are just here and there, the extras, that God says, well, I'm not doing that so that I can give you this and this and this and this and this and this. And they don't seem quite as big, but as you begin to experience them and acknowledge them, you realize a blessing in those things that's that in the midst of this, I'm so thankful for. That, Lord, we begin to say, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's exactly what I needed. I feel refreshed. I still have this. There's still the struggle, but I realize you're refreshing me day by day with your little caveat blessings, with the things you're just giving me here and there as you don't remove this from my life. And so that's who the Lord is. And that's why we're weary, is making the wrong decisions in those moments sometimes. And we don't see what God's really doing in our life. And so let's remember that if we're weary of God, it's because I'm off course. And I don't mean evilly. I don't mean wickedly. I just mean there's something here that I'm not got set quite right that I need the Lord to help me to understand. And so start praying that way. God, I realize that you're not a God who wearies his people. You are a God that allows them to go through trials, allows them to go through burdens, allows them to go through places where it's a struggle, where it's not just easy. It's not just an easy thing all the time. But you're not a God who wearies his people. So if you're taking me through something, then you're one who refreshes his people day by day. Day by day, you give us things. You bless our lives. And somehow I'm missing those. Somehow I don't see like I can see those going on in my life. And so, Lord, help me. Like we said in Sunday school today. Sometimes that's the only thing we can pray. Lord, I've asked you to remove it. So, Lord, just help me. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. But somehow I'm missing it. Throw those words in there. Throw them in. Don't be afraid to say, I'm missing it, Lord, because you're not a God who wearies his people.
Yes.
So, Lord, help me to see the refreshment that you're trying to give me day by day as I walk through this place in my life. Help me not to miss it, because that's what you have for me. This is what I got for you. And we have to remember who he is there, and he's not somebody who wearies people. And so, Lord, help me to see those things. Help me to realize them and take them. And it says in Psalms 103, and this is one of those psalms that honestly I couldn't tell you where these words were, but I ought to be able to tell you it's Psalms 103 because they've been such a blessing so many times in my life. But here it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, I just want to praise you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And that wasn't really the thought I had this morning, but really, I guess it is. kind of tied in with what we're talking about. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And when all you see is the blessings in the past, then ask God to help you. Because God is not a God of the past. He's not a God of the dead. He's not a God of history. He was God over history. But He's a God who's alive and present today. And what He was, He is, and He always will be. So if all I'm seeing are my blessings in the past, and I'm struggling to see any today, then ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help me. God, help me to see what You're doing today. Help me to see Your blessings. Help me to have a hope for tomorrow because of who You are today and of what You're doing in my life. And Lord, help me remember who You are in this time. And all. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healed. No, sorry. Who healeth. See the difference? Healed is past tense. The word here says healeth all thy diseases. You know, that's everything that afflicts you. Mind, soul, body, and spirit. The Lord has full control over all those things. He is able to help it. And this word here, by Him saying who healeth all thy things, doesn't mean it means that He's able and He's willing. All right? It carries both of those significations to it. He is able and He is willing. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Okay, He already forgave my iniquities. He forgave my sin. What does this mean? It means that in who you are, the Lord forgiving all your sins would just mean that you had a clean slate to go and destroy your life again. That's what it would mean. In who I am, the Lord forgiving all my sins, forgiving all my iniquities, restoring everything, if He restored everything in my past that had ever happened because of my sin. All that would mean is that I had a clean slate to go destroy my life again. That's not all of who God is. He doesn't just forgive everything in our past and help restore things in our life. You know, some things in this life, we understand we don't seek full restoration of everything in this physical life. But spiritually speaking, everything can be restored, and He can help us with the things that are not physically able to be restored in this life. All right? Who forgiveth all those things, but also redeemeth my life from destruction. The natural destruction that's in me, He purchases me back from that. You see, because when sin came and I died, not only was there sin I've done in my life, but there's a force working in me to destroy my life. And it says the Lord redeemeth my life from that destruction. Nothing else can do that. Only God. This is part of remembering who God is this morning. It's not just that He's a God who set the parameters out here about what's going to be accepted in heaven and what's not. But it's the fact that He's a God who redeems my life here in this time from destruction. Who can keep me from doing the things that would hurt my life. Can help me. But I have to remember who He is. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I love the song we sang this morning. His loving kindness. Oh, how great. And that's 177. Let's read a little bit of that right here. Let's remember who God is this morning. Awake my soul to joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song for me, His loving kindness, oh how free. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my low estate, His loving kindness, oh how great. Though numerous hosts of mighty foes, though earth and hell my way oppose, He safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh how strong. When trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, He near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. This is who God is. When we remember Him, there's so much more than just the Almighty Supreme Being. Thank the Lord. His loving kindness crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. Thank the Lord. It goes on, and there's so much more here that's good to read, but this is who God is. And taking a little time this morning to remember him, it makes me think of a passage in Lamentations, it's chapter 3, and let's turn over there. Chapter 3, and I turn over here, and I want to start with the first part of this verse, of this chapter, because Jeremiah is speaking. He was prophet there Israel had already been taken off and taken into captivity and been destroyed, but Judah was still a kingdom, but it was a kingdom that was being destroyed by its own sin. It was being destroyed, and it was coming to the place of being removed. And Jeremiah was actually present when it was removed. And so his lamentations are coming from someone as the prophet. He did not speak just personally to the Lord. He spoke for the nation in some places. And so he speaks here, and he says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is he turned. What have I done that's wearied you? God's saying, you know, Jeremiah's feeling pretty weary right here. All right. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is his hand turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, compassed me with gall and travail. So, the situation that Jeremiah was in, here it is. The situation that the nation of Israel was in, here it is. All right. And so he is feeling wearied and expressing that to the Lord in the midst of this. He hath built it against me, hath compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my path crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reign. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness and hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones, and he hath covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace, and I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. But then this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now God never wants us to pretend that we're not going through it. Alright, when we're going through it, the Lord, I believe with all my heart from His Word and from experiences with Him, is that He wants us to lay it out before Him. Just like He said there in Micah, He said, tell me, what have I done this word? Tell me, what is it that's going on? Let me hear it. Lay it out before the Lord. But remember who He is. That's where the turning point happens. That's where the choice is made. It's not in deciding to lay it out before the Lord. The Lord wants you to do that. He wants us to do that. He tells us that over and over in His Word, to lay it out before Him. But then remember who God is. Don't lay it out and walk away and say, this is who God is to me. This is what He has done, and this is who He is. No, no, He's not. He's not all those things. He's allowed them to happen in your life. But remember who He is. And it says here, Jeremiah remembers. He says, this I recall to mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. He's not just sustaining me here to beat me up and to make me wore out. His compassions are working for me. There's something here that God has for me. Lord, help me to yield up. All these first 20 verses of Lamentations. Maybe as I read them this morning, somehow you identified with them. Okay, identify with them. Tell the Lord and then give them up to Him. All right? Give them up to Him and remember who He is. It's because of His compassions, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. You know the only way you're going to wait for God? In the midst of all these things, the only way that you're going to wait for God is if you remember who He is. And I'm talking about who He is. Not just the fact that He's supreme being. He is that. But all about who God is and who He's been to you in your life. If you forget that, then in that moment, you are not going to begin to see the blessings of the Lord until I remember that, wait a minute, this is who God is. So Lord, what is it You're trying to do? Show me Your blessings. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, and to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You pray for me.